Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 27th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 6 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, etc. Reformation Week.
The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. O come hither and behold the works of the Lord, what destruction he hath brought upon the earth. He maketh wars to cease in all the land. He breaketh the bow and nappeth the spear in sunder, and burneth the chariots in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth.
That's Psalm 46, as sung by the King's College Choir. This is the basis, by the way, the text for the most famous Reformation hymn ever written, written, of course, by the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Does that hymn get Christ in the Old Testament right when it takes up Psalm 46? We're going to be looking at Psalm 46 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, part of our regular series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Luther is paraphrasing, rather loosely, but still paraphrasing Psalm 46 when he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." Does his hymn capture Christ at the center of this Old Testament psalm the way it ought to?
I think that Luther does justice to this psalm, of course, but he definitely, most assuredly, he cuts right to the chase to get to how do we see Christ in this psalm, in Psalm 64. And so he talks about the evil foe who means deadly woe and who's attacking us. So Luther's he's addressing the issues of this fallen creation, that the things are falling apart, that because of sin there's God's wrath, because of this fallen creation and rebellion there are the kingdoms of the earth that are trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming, but yet God's kingdom comes by the Word, and the Holy Spirit enlivens the believers and that city of Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God, the church, are kept protected from all of these assaults by the devil as he's in league with all these different things. But Luther goes right to the chase and says, well, who's the one who's going to stand up to the devil? Because the devil is his foe, and on earth there is no equal. There's no one who can stand up to him, but there is, as he goes into the next stanza and says, there's one, and it's God's elected. It's the anointed. It's the Christ. And you ask, who is this? Well, it's Jesus Christ, who is the Sabbath Lord, the Lord of Sabbath, the Sabbath Lord. And there's none other. There's no other God, because he alone holds the field forever. So he's the one who's going to fight for us. So this is where Luther goes straight to the jugular here and says that we have a God who will protect us and a God who will fight for us. And this is none other than Christ, who is the Lord of hosts, who is the God of Jacob, who is our fortress. And so this is where Luther is directly going, not away from Christ and some abstract concept of God, but in particular exactly how God himself defeats the devil in sending forth the Son. The Father sends the Son into our flesh so that he would crush the serpent's head. And so Luther gets this spot on, better than probably anybody else, because just right away going to the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, he is with us, and this is none other than Emmanuel. It is God in the flesh.
Now, that with us isn't just, this is loaded in the extreme, both in this psalm and in the Old Testament. You just mentioned Emmanuel. That part of that word is right here in this psalm in Hebrew. That word with us. Talk briefly about that before we take our first break.
Yeah, so this idea is that you have these kingdoms that are fighting against you, but there's God who is with us. He's the Lord of hosts, and this is kind of a warrior fighting kind of language, that he's the one who will hold the field forever. And this Emmanuel, this is God with us that we have in the incarnation. And that promise is given to King Ahaz back in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 8, in which he's told that God is with the people of God, even in the midst of these kingdoms that rage and they totter and they move towards Jerusalem. They're advancing, specifically the kings of Syria and the king of northern Israel. But yet their plans will not come to fruition. Why? Because God is with us. It's Emmanuel, God with us God.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, live this Thursday, October the 23rd. Pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps, lcms.org/youthcorps.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. use promotion code URA. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. When we took the break there, you kind of dropped the Emmanuel bomb, so to speak, because it's all over, not only in its, you know, kind of its shortened form that you mentioned before the break, but it's all over this Psalm 46, Brian. And it's not just that God is with us. It'll even say at one point, God is in the midst of her, speaking of this city. Pick up where we left off on the fact that we're talking about the incarnation here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're not talking about a vague concept of a God, a watchmaker God who's out there somewhere and just he's stepped back from creation. But we're actually talking about the incarnate God, the one who continues to come into his creation, the one who continues to restore his creation, the one who is actively involved in the lives of his people. And so this is God who is in the midst of her. This is the city. This is the people of God. This is Mount Zion. This is the church, that he is with them. He's in their midst. He's in this tabernacle, the sanctuary, where he is present there. And so this is constantly the promise for the people of God that he comes to save them, that he is with them. And all of this points toward this fulfillment of the mystery of the incarnation, where he's with her in a very unique way in which he takes upon flesh and blood, so that he actually dwells in the midst of sinners, absorbing the sin and taking them away and restoring them to new life. And so this is God who is in the midst of her, in the midst of all of this chaos and this fallen world. And he's continuing to give peace. Peace, which he can only give, so that now that we are justified, that we are in Christ, we now have peace with God. And if we have peace with God, who cares what the rest of the world throws at us, because God is with us and God is for us.
Now, he is with us, and to kind of observe the parallelism in the refrain of Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. What is this image of the fortress? And, well, first of all, the God of Jacob, pull that one out for us, and then that he is a fortress.
Yeah, well, the God of Jacob, I mean, this is huge because, again, it's not a generic God. It's a specific, this is the God of Jacob who makes the promise. The promise that in his offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who says that he will come and he will be born of this woman in order to restore them. And so you see this like in Isaiah chapter 2. We do a lot of Isaiah here. And in Isaiah 2, you have all these nations. These nations are like mountains in Isaiah 2, and they rise up, but the kingdom of God, so all these kingdoms rise up, but yet the kingdom of God will be the highest of all of these mountains. And in that Isaiah chapter 2 passage, you have this whole understanding that when this kingdom of God comes, all these wars will cease. And this is the language of Psalm 46, in Psalm 46, that he will make the war cease to the end of the earth. He will break the bow, and he will shatter the spear. He will burn the chariots with fire, for that's what he's going to do, that you have God who comes to restore this, and he's going to make it so that they're going to actually beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will no longer raise up sword against nation, and they'll no longer learn war. And so this is the whole idea of the coming kingdom, when all of this death comes to an end, and it death is put to death, if you will. And so all these nations will no longer have these wars. And in Psalm 46, we're talking about these kingdoms that are rising up against us and causing us this terror and this panic and this anxiety. But yet we know that Yahweh, the one who is the Lord of hosts, the one who is Christ, he's the one who causes all these wars to cease, and he gives us his peace in the midst of all of this turmoil. And so likewise in Isaiah chapter 2, you have the whole understanding that he alone will be exalted in that day. And that's what Psalm 46 is saying, that he's teaching his people, say, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. So it may seem like these earthly kings and their kingdoms are very strong and powerful, but yet we know that the kingdom of God will come, and they will not be able to prevent it from coming. And so that whole passage in Isaiah chapter 2 is about the God of Jacob, because it's about the Mount Zion. It's about the house of the God of Jacob. It's about this message, this Torah, that will go out from Zion, out of Jerusalem, to the ends of the earth, to bring in these nations, to bring the Gentiles in, so that war no longer ceases. And these kingdoms that were trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming will be converted. They'll be brought out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so a lot of this imagery of the God of Jacob is given to us in Isaiah chapter 2, which directly correlates to this passage in Psalm 46 about he's the one. The Lord of hosts is the one who ceases all the battles. But this God of Jacob is throughout the whole scripture, this importance that he's the one that gives his promise. So we have to go back to Genesis to look at the God of Jacob and see how this all plays out.
So let's go back to Jacob himself. I mean, the God that Jacob encountered and saw in vision and called upon, that takes us right into Genesis 18, doesn't it?
Yeah, so in Genesis 18, you have the vision, this vision in which Jacob, he dreams, and he sees Yahweh. And he sees Yahweh standing above this ladder, and he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And now he is revealing himself to Jacob, and he's giving him that promise, that in you your offspring shall, in your offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then he gives him that promise, I am with you. The same kind of promise that we have in Psalm 46, that God is with us. He's saying this specifically to Jacob, I am with you. And he's promised to be with him and fulfill everything that he's given and delivered to Jacob. And so this is Genesis chapter 18, where Jacob wakes up and he says, wow, truly God is in this place. And so he names the place Bethel, the house of God, because the Lord of hosts is with us and with Jacob. And so Jacob builds this kind of a pillar, kind of a memorial place where you have this instance happening. And later on in Genesis, you keep going back to Bethel. And I think that one of the interesting passages you get into is like in Genesis chapter 31, where you have the Moloch, the messenger of God. Usually we translate Moloch as angel, and then we get kind of confused because then we think a Hallmark angel and a woman in a robe and wings. And really, a Moloch is a messenger. And specifically, when you have the messenger of Yahweh, the messenger of God who comes to Jacob, this is actually the second person of the Holy Trinity. And so you have the messenger of God coming to Jacob in chapter 31, and he's saying, Jacob, here he is, he's giving him another vision, and he tells him, I am the God of Bethel. So who's the God of Bethel? Well, it's the Moloch Yahweh. It's the second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who makes the Father known. Because again, as we've said before, no one has ever seen God, but instead they've seen the only begotten God, who is the Son. And so the Son is the God of Bethel. And you get this later on in chapter 35 of Genesis, when again, this God of Bethel will come to Jacob and say, go arise to Bethel and make an altar there to the God who appeared to you. Well, who's the God that appeared to him? Of course, it's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This is the God of Bethel. This is the God of Jacob. So Jacob's ready to go back to Bethel. So Bethel becomes very important for Jacob, and it's very important for us to understand who the God of Jacob is, the one who reveals himself to Jacob. And so that later on at the death of Jacob, when he's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, the blessing that he uses is a Trinitarian blessing, in which he blesses in Genesis 48, and he says, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, and the Moloch, the angel, the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these boys. And so you have this very Trinitarian blessing, like Paul will do in the New Testament, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Well, here's Jacob saying, the God before whom my fathers walked, the God who has been my shepherd, and the messenger who has redeemed me. Well, again, Who's the messenger? Well, the messenger is a second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's our guest. We come back 10 more minutes with him in our Christ in the Old Testament series. We're looking at Psalm 46. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Psalm 46. Brian, there's a strong theme here, and I think Luther captured it in that hymn that paraphrases the psalm. The psalm talks about our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, introducing a theme of deliverance. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, so Luther talks about this old evil foe, which of course is Satan, the one who wants to mean woe for us, the one who wants to destroy us, the one who wants to bring us down, attack us, and strip us away from God. And so what Luther is pointing us to is the one who is the fortress, the one who is the refuge, which is Christ. And so the idea is that Yahweh is this strong tower, that the righteous run into it and they are saved, that you go into him and you enter and you hide yourself while this fury, and you wait for this fury and this wrath to pass away. And, of course, all of this is living in the midst of this fallen creation. And so you'll have the earth will give way, the mountains will be moved, the waters of the sea roar and foam. I mean, so there's all these problems in this fallen creation. But we also know in the Scripture that when there's problems in the fallen creation, it means because there's a rebellion with the creation and the Creator, and even specifically amongst the people of God, when they break covenant and they rebel against the Creator, they begin to see all of these things happen in the earth. And so when you see the fallen creation falling apart, there's only one place to run for hiding, for refuge, for the fortress. The language of fortress is like a castle. It's a defense. You open up the gates and you run in, you close the gates, and you're safe from all of this harm. Well, so Luther talks about this with the devil kind of bringing all these things to attack us in this earthly realm, along with these earthly kingdoms. And so you have these nations raging and the kingdoms tottering and all of this, but you run for cover and you run into the fortress, which is Christ himself, the one who is our hiding place, the one in which we are covered with his righteousness, so that when God's righteous fury and wrath is poured out, we are saved. We are rescued from this. And so this is the whole idea that in Christ we have restored creation. This is the water, this slow flowing water that brings life. That in Christ we have the kingdom of God. And so all these kingdoms of the earth try to prevent it from coming. Creation falls apart, but yet in him we run for cover. This is the fortress, our protector.
Just to kind of return to Luther's paraphrase, is that kind of an indicator that Luther really gets the heart of this psalm? I mean, in the fact that he begins with those words, a mighty fortress?
Yes, so Luther uses these words. He's a mighty fortress. He's a trusty shield. He's a weapon. And so when you have the idea of shield and weapon, a fortress, you have the idea of both defense and attack. So not only is he the place where you run for cover, but he's also the one who's going to fight for you. So he's going to be the one who's going to protect you. He's going to be your helper, the one who helps you in every trouble, the one who helps you in every need. And these are these situations we'll find ourselves in this life. And for Luther in particular, I mean, when he talks about losing life and goods and fame and child and even wife, I mean, these were realities in Luther's day that they're dealing with on a regular basis. But yet, the kingdom remains ours. So they can't take the kingdom away from us because the victory has already been won. Because Christ is the victor over death and the grave. Christ is the one who comes to save.
Talk, if you would, about that kingdom being, at least in the words of the Psalm 46, the restoration of all things, the resurrection and the restoration of creation.
Yeah, the idea is that in this earth, we have all of these earthly kingdoms, and you'll have these ideas where you try to create a utopia on earth. You think that if we get the right politician elected into office, then everything will go our way. And so this is kind of in this fallen world, in this fallen realm, we have these kingdoms here that try to create a vision of what they think is God's kingdom is on earth, in which everything is perfect in their own eyes. But what God gives to us is a different vision, not a vision that comes out of man's heart, but a vision he reveals to us by the Holy Spirit, so that he teaches us what the true kingdom is. The true kingdom is Christ reigning now. The true kingdom is Christ who is crucified on the cross, rejected by the kingdoms of the earth, so that the nations rage against him. But yet God laughs at this because they can't prevent his kingdom from coming. So this true vision of the kingdom that God gives to us is that it's peace in the midst of war. So when we have all of this trials and tribulation, they take away our wife, our life, they take away our children and all of our goods, yet we still have peace because we have peace with God. So this is the kind of kingdom that we're trying to understand correctly, that it's God's kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. And so you have the psalm, it's interesting that all these things are going on, all this chaos, everything is just going to hell in a handbasket, and then it kind of, in verse 4, just pauses, and then it says, "There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." And so this is the idea that all these things are going on, but yet there's this river that gives life, where God continues to sustain his people and protect them. And you get to the end in verse 10 where it's, "Be still and know that I am God." And so he's the one who's going to protect us. He's the one that will be exalted. And so what are we to do? We are to listen and to know that he is in control. That's the kind of kingdom that he brings, a kingdom where he is king. We don't put ourselves on the throne or try to create a kingdom in our own image or try to make a magical kingdom here on earth.
So it is truly that not just he has come to dwell among us temporarily, kind of visit us, but that he has made his habitation, his holy habitation, among us. Is that the point here of that particular verse in Psalm 46 with just a few minutes?
Yes, so this is the idea, is that the holy habitation of the Most High, this holy habitation is the tabernacle, the Mishkan. You see this most clearly in Ezekiel chapter 37 that directly links this tabernacle to the promise of the Messiah. So that in Ezekiel 37, you have, my servant David shall be king over them. It's his kingdom, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to listen to my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob. And so again, you go back to this, the God of Jacob, the one who heard these promises, the one that knew that the Christ would come. His son would be the one who would bring in this kingdom. And this servant David, he shall be prince forever, and he'll have this covenant of peace. And so what Ezekiel goes on to say in 37 is that in this everlasting covenant of peace, that God will put his dwelling place, his tabernacle, his Mishkan there, and shall be with them. That's his people, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So no longer will the people be tossed to and fro from all of these attacks of this fallen creation of the devil, but they will rest assured that God has completely wiped out all of these enemies that try to destroy and prevent his kingdom from coming. And so this is the idea, that the nations will know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies Israel. And when my sanctuary is there in their midst, it's there forever. This is what Ezekiel is telling us, which of course goes back to Psalm 46. This is the kind of kingdom that we're looking for, the one in which God sanctifies us, the one in which he dwells in our midst forever, that he is our God and we are his people.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Thanks to Pastor Daniel Freeman and the Congregation of Peace Lutheran Church in Chehalis, Washington, for their ongoing support of Issues Etc. through our congregational sponsorship program. We call it the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out all about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. There's a one-page flyer that will assist you when you go to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Since this is budget planning time, this is the time to ask them to either join or renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Chris Roseborough about This Week in Pop American Christianity. We got a lot to talk about there. We'll have Dr. Charles Geeshan answer the question, how did we get the New Testament? We'll discuss PBS Religion and Ethics Newsweekly story about transgender and theology. And since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Well, no surprise there that Luther, when he goes to paraphrase this great psalm, actually gets it right. He focuses on, well, where the psalm focuses us, the God of Jacob, the God who is with us, the God who is in our midst, the God who has made his holy habitation among us, none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Issues Etc. Reformation Week begins October 27th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 6 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.